Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday. What day is it, Fred? Hey, Fred, what day is it, Fred?
Wednesday all day.
You're missing a point. Let me go to Walker. Walker, what day is it, Walker?
Well, it's Walker. Hump Day.
There you go, Fred. That's what you were supposed to say, man.
Okay.
Hump Day. Don't you watch Geico commercials?
If Fred hadn't got it wrong, then I wouldn't have got it right.
Right.
Because I kind of took my cue from Fred
Right. Hump Day. Mm-hmm. I guess the commercial worked if we're quoting a camel here.
Yeah.
Start the show on a Wednesday, right?
I know.
It was Geico, wasn't it? I think that's one of their.
Yeah, but our good friend JJ has been saying that for 20 years.
He has been.
Wednesday's Hump Day.
So prior to the Geico.
Oh, yeah. I think Geico stole it from JJ Jasper.
Camel
was
JJ Jasper.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Geico may owe JJ some money. I'd look at getting a lawyer.
Maybe so.
Right there for a
copyright or something. A patent.
Yeah, patent or a copyright or something like that.
Uh-huh.
All right, welcome to the program, everybody, here on American Family Radio. We'll be here for the next hour and 25 minutes. And I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and with Fred Jackson, news director for American Family Radio News. Ed's not around. Ray's doing his own thing, so it's just us three here today, and Brent Creeley's running the controls. And if you want to watch the show, we got a surprise for you.
That's right.
You want to watch Facebook or YouTube right now, just go there to live stream.
Little incentive.
If you don't care about seeing Fred, Walker, and me, because but you want to see a cute little kid, Walker.
That's right.
Walker has brought in Luke.
That's right. Luke Thomas.
How old is Luke?
Luke Thomas is 20 months old.
Just type in Today's Issues, by the way.
Go to Facebook or YouTube, type in Today's Issues. You can watch the show there. And we got a little surprise. I got my son, my 20-month-old son, Luke, here. He's also a big brother to twin boys, Samuel and Andrew, who are at home with their mom.
And they're 1 week.
That's right. They'll be a week tonight. Tonight. They'll be a week
so
tonight.
Dare I ask how the sleeping schedule going at the Walker Wildman household?
I'm sane and here at work on time this morning.
Okay. So
we're surviving. Survival mode.
Survival. It'll probably be that way for a while.
Yeah.
So you're telling me before the show that you were really greatly moved by the fact that Luke slept all night.
That's right. He slept all night last night.
He's helping the family.
That's right. We put him in his big boy bed.
Right.
And it's a full bed, I think.
He knows that the twins are requiring a lot of attention during the night.
That's right.
So he's helping out by sleeping all night.
That's right. So he slept all night last night. And
just naturally, or did you give him something?
No, naturally. All natural.
Okay.
Slept from 8:30 p.m. to 6 a.m., and we were glad. And so he's up
all right,
at
work. Let him wave at everybody on the camera. Will he wave?
He's with his
high
nana.
High five, Luke. High five.
High five.
There? He knows how to high five. High five. See there? All right.
He didn't even know to be shy.
No.
He doesn't know he's on national
He's
radio.
The most peaceful kid I've ever seen, really, truly. And I've got now 7 grandchildren. Under 5 years old.
Wow.
And first three were very, very, they had a lot of personality. Let's just put it that way.
All right.
And Luke has personality too. It's just in a different way.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
He's just a sweet little obedient child for the most part. All right. See ya. Okay. That's enough of us grandchildren talking. We need to move on to the serious topics of the day. Fred, what's up?
Well, we're still talking about the Jussie Smollett story, all right? That kind of broke
away. Who is he, Fred, for those who don't know?
He is a...
Actor,
a homosexual, acted on the show Empire.
Right.
And you maybe remember back a couple of months ago,
yeah.
He made a claim that he was out getting a Subway sandwich around 2 or 3 in the morning in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And he was attacked by two guys who were pro-Trump people.
Right. This is MAGA country, they told him, as they didn't beat him up.
Yeah. Put a noose around his neck.
But
he made it back to his hotel or his apartment with the noose around his neck and the Subway sandwich.
So you got to, if you believe his story,
mm-hmm.
which I think Nobody said ever, right? Except for him, maybe in his own fantasy land.
Yeah.
There, not even Mama believes him, okay? Don't tell. She may defend him, but not even Mama believes him. But it, so he, if you are to believe him, though, it would make for a great fighting scene.
Yep.
Because he would have fended them off.
Yes.
These two attackers who are bodybuilders, evidently.
Yeah.
Fended them off with his legs while he held his Subway sandwich and the noose. And I don't know what he did, how the bleach impacted things. No. And he barely had a scrape on him.
That it was quite amazing.
Yeah. So
anyway,
Chuck Norris, look out. So
several weeks later, the Chicago Police Department did an intensive investigation.
Right.
Cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they said it was all a fake.
Right.
And they talked to the two guys who were caught on video. Some of this was caught on video. Okay.
They weren't the smartest criminals.
No. They told the Chicago Police that he, Jussie Smollett, paid them over $3,000 to carry out this thing. And one of the reasons was apparently that his character on the show was being diminished and he was looking for more attention.
Yeah.
That he, Smollett, had devised the whole scheme,
all right,
put it all together, even injured himself, put a cut on himself to make it look like he had really been attacked.
And that wasn't a very serious cut. When I looked at it, I go, I do worse than that shaving.
Yes. So.
It was pathetic.
The whole thing goes to a grand jury, and he's indicted.
In liberal Chicago now.
In liberal Chicago.
Yeah.
He's indicted on 16 felonies. 16 felonies.
Yeah.
Cooking all this up. The allegation is, the charge was that he wrote a letter. He wrote a letter saying that he was feeling threatened by all of this, but mailed it to himself. It was kind of a threatening letter, but mailed it to himself.
Right.
Okay? That something was going to happen to him.
No, it was something in the essence of you're going to die. Mm. You black, gay.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure they used a slang term.
Right.
Anyway, I got to give it to him, assuming he did write his own threatening letter, that he... he kind of overstepped reality. If he would have just held back a little bit, but he decided to throw all the stereotypes in there.
Yes.
You know, little racism, little homophobia.
Yeah. The nation's media went crazy.
Oh, they believed him.
Yep, they believed him. No question about it. Then the Chicago Police hold this news conference, and they go point by point through their investigation, and they declared it was all a fake. He is Jussie Smollett is an African American. The superintendent of police in Chicago is an African American. He was outraged
yesterday when they let him off.
Well, he was outraged that this.
He did the hoax.
He says this is terrible. You know, we have hate crimes in this country, and this guy used all of this.
Well, it's also taken away real resources from the Chicago Police Department to do this investigation for something that never happened.
Yes.
And as you say, I don't know how much money.
$600,000.
Yeah.
That's what the Chicago PD estimated.
Well, and Mayor Rahm Emanuel yesterday himself.
Yeah.
Very liberal guy. And he's ticked. Yeah. Well, the whitewashing of justice.
Well, what happened yesterday is there was a news conference with the defense lawyer for Smollett, and she announces all the charges have been dropped. All 16
with no explanation. Except,
no explanation.
Except he did a little community service.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have to recant his story.
No.
He doesn't even have to apologize to anybody.
No. Nope.
He's sticking with it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, I guess we can ask Abe when he comes in here. There's a couple things here. This was another hate crime hoax.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time all over America where the person who claims to be a victim actually does it to try to trick the police in a situation. Mm-hmm. Or they hire somebody, in this case. They work with somebody to try to perpetrate a phony because they know the media is going to bite and they know, you know, we're going to make conservatives or white people or Trump supporters look bad. That's our goal. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. Let's just create something that makes them look bad.
Yep.
That's their goal. And the media is right along with them because they want to believe it's true.
Yep.
Like Joy Behar. Is that her name?
Behar.
Remember her famous quote a couple of months ago? Or maybe it wasn't that long, from The View, which I don't watch, by the way. I just see clips every now and then of the ridiculous comments that they make. So she said, She said, well, we want it to be true because we want Trump out so bad.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You talk about a moment of honesty, you know. So anyway.
Sure.
So but, what's going to happen now? Can there be any, I guess we can ask Abe, can there be any consequences for this?
Well, just you mentioned Rahm Emanuel, the current mayor of Chicago, who is a lefty politician.
Yeah.
And yesterday, the superintendent, Eddie Johnson, and the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, called their own news conference and expressed absolute outrage. Cut number two.
You all know where I stand on this. Do I think justice was served? No. Where do I think justice is? I think this city is still owed an apology.
How dare him? How dare him? After everybody saw the grand jury, a sliver of the evidence, and they came to a conclusion. Is there no decency in this man?
That was Rahm Emanuel.
I know. I was agreeing. You know, who could? This now is so blatant what happened that it even outrages liberals.
Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, because he's a mayor of a city who had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, Walker
right.
said,
mm-hmm.
to investigate. If for that reason alone, you would mm-hmm. be outraged.
Well, and there are crimes day after day. There's hundreds of crimes in Chicago each week. Some of them shootings. They're one of the highest per capita.
Violent crimes.
Violent
crimes. Armed robberies, all kind of stuff.
Yeah, one of the most dangerous cities per capita in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these crimes go unanswered. A lot of, because the police don't have the resources
right.
to solve every single murder, every single violent crime in Chicago. Well, this one gets special attention because it's a TV actor. So they put all the detectives, all the resources to figure this out. They figure out that he staged the crime. And so people in Chicago got to be furious about that.
Let me ask you this. I know the answer to this before I ask it. Let's suppose this was a white actor, a straight man, and he was claimed the same thing except reverse it.
Mm.
And he says, I was attacked by two homosexuals
mm.
at 1 a.m. When I went out to get me a Subway when it was sub-zero temperatures, which happens every day. Mm. You know, people get hungry in the middle of the night. They go out and walk in death to deadly temperatures to get a Subway sandwich. And let's suppose that happened to that actor, Mel Gibson or somebody else.
Uh-huh.
And he were to claim, of course, Mel Gibson and Jussie Smollett are not on the same planets as far as being actors, but to give you somebody who's recognized as a conservative. So do you think that person would get away with it? Or just an average person?
No. Mm-hmm.
Just an average Joe out there.
Wouldn't happen.
Who claim the same thing. In fact, I've read stories out of Illinois, newspapers and such online, of at least three or four other people in the last couple of years who have themselves filed false police reports, and they get jail time.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. So Rahm Emanuel, to his credit, the mayor of Chicago, he was saying there is a double standard.
Yeah.
He's claiming it's because the guy was famous,
mm-hmm.
and it may be. That may be the reason. But there's something... There's something fishy here that needs to be investigated.
Well, we're starting to get some details. The state attorney, the person in charge.
Is that akin to a district attorney for a lot of people?
It is.
Okay.
Her name is Kim Fox.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it turns out she's a friend of the Smollett family.
Uh-huh.
All right? Now, she recused herself officially early on because she had a conversation with the Smollett family shortly after the incident.
Right.
All right. But also, there's another actor who has come into play here, Tina Chen. Tina Chen was the former chief of staff for Michelle Obama when Barack Obama was president.
Okay. And they're from Chicago, the Obamas.
They're from Chicago. Apparently, Tina Chen has also inserted herself in this case.
Really?
Yes. The allegation is that she is there helping Smollett. So
so she's calling in. Did she call in a personal favor, so to speak?
Well, that's...
Is that what it sounds like?
This, we don't have those
words. That hasn't been proven.
It hasn't been proven yet. But her name was mentioned right off the bat yesterday as being involved with this.
Did she, in fact, call the DA?
Well, we don't know that. We don't know that yet.
Okay.
Not yet. But her name, and this is secular media. This is secular
media
bringing this up. So I think we're going to get more on this as time goes on, but it sounds
there
to
has
me,
to be an explanation.
There's a friendship between Kim Fox, the state attorney. There's a friendship. She's friends with the Smollett family.
Yeah.
And they're friends with Tina Shind, a former chief of staff for Michelle Obama.
There needs to be a statewide investigation into this attorney's office, into this prosecutor's office.
Absolutely.
Why did the I don't know if it was this woman you're talking about, the chief of staff for Michelle Obama,
mm-hmm.
who called the state's attorney, which is Ms. Fox,
yes,
and said, can you get the FBI to take over the investigation here and take it out of the hands of the Chicago Police Department?
Right.
That's what's alleged.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's even alleged. I think that's...
No, that's
those
documented.
Are text messages.
That part is documented.
Yeah, let me just read here.
Why would you do that?
Well, because you know people at the FBI how they'll handle it.
This is a story from the Chicago Sun-Times. Public records, they did a FOIA, Freedom of Information. All right, they got some...
Yeah.
Public records obtained by the Chicago Sun-Times showed that Chen sent Fox, Kim Fox, an early morning text on February 1st saying she wanted to give you a call on behalf of Jussie Smollett and family who I know. They have concerns about the investigation. 3 days earlier, Smollett had said two men attacked him on the way home. All right, so very early on in this, you see, you almost have to look at it as a web.
Mm-hmm.
They're friends, and they're talking. And so Chen is talking to the state attorney, Fox, about, hey, let's have a little chat.
They're friends. They're pals.
They're pals.
So she's calling in a favor.
Talk about interfering in an investigation.
But that happens every day all over America. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah, but they go after President Trump, saying he's obstructing justice.
You're right.
You know all the stuff that like you're saying happens every day.
But still, it's not right. And if you prove this, it sounds like the family is using a contact in a high-level position that is the chief of staff for Michelle Obama to call and lean on the state's attorney to back off of, or at least help them out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not be an honest broker,
mm-hmm.
but let's do, help us out. We're calling in a favor.
Uh-huh.
And Michelle says hi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. That's what it appears. And with them dropping 16 felony charges, with no explanation in upsetting the whole world, or basically with these actions. By the way, is Ms. Fox,
yes,
the state's attorney general, she recused herself.
Yes.
So the number two person, do we know that person's name?
It's probably in here somewhere, but.
But she was directing all this.
But Kim Fox is still her boss.
Yes.
Right. Is it a her or a him?
Kim Fox is a her.
No. I'm talking about
the person who took over.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The prosecution investigation is the first assistant state's attorney, which is Joseph Maggots.
Yeah,
it's his name.
Hmm.
It's
is
the
it
number
guy?
Number two in command behind Fox.
His name's Joseph Maggot.
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, says the man with the last name Wildman. Anyway, I'm just thinking there are a lot of people today who are going, this guy's a maggot.
Right, maggots.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's close to being a MAGA, if you think about it. So I don't know what kind of conspiracy there is there. But anyway, the point is, so this guy comes, he was the one who made some kind of public comments.
He was the one who let this fellow off the hook.
Okay, but you know he's getting orders from his boss.
Yeah, she's his boss.
She's not
right.
She's technically saying I'm recusing myself,
like Loretta Lynch and James Comey.
Yeah, but her number two knows exactly what she wants.
Yes,
done.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
but then she doesn't have to say.
She can say I wasn't a part of it.
She thinks she can get off by saying, "Hey, I recuse myself. Sorry."
But as to Fred's point, this is her office.
Yeah,
she's responsible for every action from her office, whether it's her or someone below her.
Yeah. Well, this is a shame because he accused Jussie Smollett, the actor, really indicted Donald Trump, the president, and all his supporters by saying, the man who jumped me and beat me up, in quotations, when I was on my way home with Subway, said this is MAGA country. Mm-hmm. And like somebody said, Chicago, downtown Chicago, MAGA country. Like these two redneck boys are just hanging out from Tennessee.
Illinois is as blue as it can be.
You know, they're just waiting out in their truck. Hey, there he is. Right. Hey, keep the heater on while we go whoop him up. Right. Let's go. Huh? The whole thing was bogus from the beginning, and everybody knew it. He'd have done better to have him, to have them really beat him up a little bit where he had to go to the hospital.
Make it look real.
It would have been more credible.
Right.
It isn't over yet.
Okay.
I mentioned a few moments ago that before the attack, police say Smollett also sent a letter threatening himself to the Chicago studio where Empire is shot. Okay. They have that letter. The police sent that letter to the FBI.
And probably the Postal Service is involved too.
Yes.
Because that's federal crime.
Yes.
If it's true.
Mail fraud.
So the set of Empire gets this letter allegedly threatening Smollett. The police say Smollett wrote that letter himself. So this has gone to an FBI lab. If there is a flake of DNA belonging to Smollett on that letter, he ain't out of the woods yet.
Right.
Well, did you see that? It looked like a kindergartner drew it up. Huh?
Yeah.
Whoever the U.S. attorney is for Illinois, for that district, the U.S. attorney, not the state attorney, if they have evidence, if the FBI turns over evidence, I would charge him with every single charge you can slap
on him. You mean on the postal fraud?
Yes. Every single felony you could slap on Smollett, I would do it as the U.S. attorney.
So they're saying
to make up for
the accusation is, and I believe it, that he sent, oh my word, he sent himself
a hate letter.
A hate letter, a threatening letter, a death threat,
yes,
basically, to himself. It's not funny, but
he was busted.
This was the mind of a 11-year-old.
Yes.
Okay? This man, the way he set this whole thing up was planned in about, it sounded like it was planned over a sandwich at Subway.
Sure.
Honestly. But then you got these two Nigerian people that he knew were friends of his.
Yep.
That he got to do the...
Play the role.
And they go get their noose at a hardware store in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
On camera. Mm. And they're asking questions. And it's just like, come on. Can't you be any smarter than this?
But this is the two-way system. It's a two-tier justice system that we talk about. If you're Roger Stone, if you're Paul Manafort, if you're anybody associated with Donald Trump and you do anything wrong, even if it's missing a dollar on your taxes that you filed, then you're going to jail. If not, you're facing charges, you're paying fines. But if you're somebody in Hollywood, you're a millionaire, you know the Clintons, you know the Obamas, then you're good. You can do whatever you want.
Especially if you're gay. I think that helped. I think that helped him tremendously.
Sure. Yeah.
Right.
But here's the other thing. We're wondering, how did Smollett think that he could get away with this?
Tell me, Fred.
I'll tell you what. The reason he thought he could get away with it was because of the atmosphere that's been created out there by the media and the Democrats.
That's true.
We don't question anybody who's a victim.
Yes.
A victim to the of the right.
Yeah. Right, because he is a victim of both racism and homophobia. Mm-hmm. And he is to be believed.
That's right.
Because this is just out of control ever since President Trump took
just
over
like
office.
Brett Kavanaugh's fake accuser.
I was just thinking
we believe her. We don't have any evidence, but we believe her.
Yeah.
Right. And like they jumped all over those Catholic boys from
Covington. Yeah, huh? Covington, Kentucky.
Yeah. And accused them of harassing this little
Indian
man.
There's a common
man.
Thread here, folks.
Yep. It all makes Trump look bad.
Thank goodness they have cameras.
Yes.
And they can show the truth about these issues or these things would... Be bad. We'll be back in a minute.
Next time on Today's Issues, we'll talk with Jan Markell of Understanding the Times.
2 Timothy 3 talks about a last days scenario that is not a pretty picture. It speaks of a time when people think of mainly self-money. They're proud, arrogant, boastful. And the whole passage talks about perilous times.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
2018 was the busiest year ever for 8 Days of Hope.
Steve Tiber.
Over 6,000 volunteers descended to Southeast Houston over a three-week period during 8 Days of Hope 14, 15, and 16 and helped over 1,000 families rebuild their homes, all in the name of Jesus. Also, Hurricane Florence hit North Carolina. We had volunteers, leaders, and equipment in New Bern, Fayetteville, and Wilmington. And then, of course, Hurricane Michael striking the panhandle of Florida. We were in Panama City Beach for 5 weeks, loving and serving families who had nowhere to turn. 2019 could even be busier as we plan to go back to some of these same communities to be a glimpse of who Jesus is by using the gifts he's given us to bless those who are looking for a glimmer of hope. Go to 8daysofhope.com, submit your email address, and we'll notify you of our plans in 2019.
American Family Association is pleased to partner with 8 Days of Hope, and you can too. Learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Another race controversy embroils the governor's mansion in Virginia. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The other day, Virginia First Lady Pam Northam gave middle school students a tour of the historic kitchen in the governor's mansion. At some point, she invited the boys and girls to touch several agricultural products, including cotton. Well, several African-American students became offended. They told their parents, who in turn told the media, and now there's a raging war on the fabric of our lives. To be clear, the First Lady says she did not single out any of the black students, a fact buried in most of the reporting. But in light of the dust-up surrounding her husband's racist yearbook photos, the truth really does not matter. That being said, I am curious about why so many people are taking offense at cotton these days. I mean, what's next? Are they going to ban cotton clothing? What about cotton swabs? I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Today's Issues. On the American Family Radio Network, Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and Fred Jackson, and Abraham Hamilton III joins us now. Abe joins us every Wednesday. He is the host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon at 5:05 Central Time. So check that out this afternoon here on AFR, Abe's show. And then he serves as public policy analyst here for AFA. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning.
Hey, a couple of topics we want to hit with you, but you and Walker were talking off the air. If you have a, because you served in this capacity as a district attorney, right, or assistant district
That's right.
attorney?
Yep.
Okay, with this case with this Smollett who claimed to be a victim of a hate crime, and it turned out to be a big hoax, and he was let off the hook on 16 felony charges yesterday, which was inexplicable. Even the liberal mayor of the city of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, who used to be the chief of staff for Obama early on, he's like aghast.
A whitewash like, of justice.
Yeah, he's like really fuming yesterday at this press conference. I guess because it made his city look bad, he thought. And they spent hundreds of thousands of dollars investigating this. And he thinks this guy used it to, as a publicity stunt to promote his career, which it worked, by the way, if he can get back on his show or get some other gigs. But my question is, I heard Walker talking to you off the air, is there anything that can happen to this district attorney's office as a response to this? Do they not have to explain to anybody? Do they have a boss?
Their ultimate boss are the citizens of Cook County.
So this is an elected position?
That's right.
So this lady by the name of Fox, who is the state's attorney, are the terms state's attorney and district attorney synonymous?
They are. They are synonymous. Different states refer to the same positions in different ways.
Okay.
Very similar to most states around the country have a House of Representatives. In Virginia, they have a House of Delegates.
Gotcha. Same thing.
Same thing.
So she's an elected position. So she will face some accountability.
From the people of Cook County, which includes Chicago, they're going to have to make a determination, which, by the way, she was elected on the heels of the fallout of corruption and cover-up concerning the Laquan McDonald case in Cook County to begin with. And so she was elected in an effort to uproot corruption in Cook County, Illinois. And it turns out—
Maybe it's
out,
in the water.
maybe it's huh? Maybelline.
Now, we know Kim Fox, that's who we're talking about. She recused herself.
Which is fascinating.
Okay, so
early on,
she recused herself because basically she's friends with the Smollett family.
That's exactly
and
right.
And they had a conversation shortly after the incident.
Which, much to her chagrin, the local media there is revealing.
They're covering it.
Because they have text messages and emails from Kim Fox to members of the Smollett family, as well as communications between Kim Fox and Tina Chen, which is Michelle Obama's chief
right.
of staff when she was in the White House. And in the communications to the Smollett family member, the Smollett family member specifically said, ask for help to make this go away. And Kim Fox responded, we will try to help you.
Okay, let me ask you this. Had this happened to you when you were serving as
assistant
DA in the New Orleans area, your previous occupation before coming to us, had this happened to you and you got a text, you're sitting at your desk, and you get a text from a family member of somebody who's in trouble with the law, and the police are investigating, how would you have responded?
I would immediately have to let my supervisor know, hey, I know John Doe, they contacted me, I'm a member of the family. I know the family personally. Immediately, what my boss would have done is to announce to the entire office, Abraham Hamilton cannot be allowed to touch such and such file. He's not to be around the file. He's not to have any communication with any investigators in the case. That it's called a wall of isolation from that particular matter.
Also,
because of potential.
Did she do that here? Did that happen?
Apparently not, because she is the one who made the decision to dismiss the charges. When the dismissal was announced, the superintendent of Chicago Police was surprised.
But why?
He didn't even know.
How can you recuse yourself? But then make the decision to drop all the charges.
Where did the number two guy come in play?
The number two guy.
The first assistant.
The first assistant is the one who oversees the prosecution when the elected state's attorney recuses herself.
Okay.
So the first assistant should have been the one to make the decision as to what goes on with the charging decision or the lack thereof. But the fact that you have an open recusal and then a reversal of that recusal. I said yesterday in the program that somebody should have told Jeff Sessions that the recusal was like the hokey pokey. You can turn yourself around.
Depending on what day of the week it is.
That was good. How long did it take you? You probably thought of that pretty quick. You're pretty clever. Do the hokey pokey.
Oh.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network.
One other question, Abe. It also matters how these cases have been handled in the past.
Yes.
What cases?
Cases like this. You have a copycat case like Jussie Smollett. Let's say 2 years ago, this state's attorney, Fox, how did she handle that case when Jim Bob, that doesn't have family connections to the state's attorney office, how did we handle his case? Did he get prosecuted to the fullest extent? Or is it that's important to look back at how this state's attorney handles cases like this, because you should handle each case for the most part, unless there's some kind of plea deal, most cases similarly.
But let me just tell you, Walker, with plea deals, there's a pattern for plea deals. It's not as if, you know, each case is so beyond the pale. You have a range of options with each case, and there are similar patterns. And I think it's important to explain for the listeners what all transpired, because this wasn't like a case where the police were just doing work and the public weren't involved. No, the police accumulated evidence. They put together a presentation before a grand jury. What a grand jury is, it's a cross-section of potential jurors who make the decision, not leaving it up to the district attorney's office, but the grand jurors make a decision whether or not it's more likely or not that a crime has committed. Those grand jurors have to unanimously decide to indict, which they did in the Smollett case, and in spite of Chicago citizens
16 times
yeah.
for 16 individual criminal instances, in spite of the grand jury's decision to indict and to proceed to trial, the state's attorney steps in over and really vetoes the decision of grand jurors. And I can tell you, as a prosecutor, when we present cases to the grand jury, if there were cases that the grand jury no-billed, that's the decision that they make, that there's no probable cause to proceed, for a DA to then try to say, no, we're going to pursue this case anyway, that would be a grand faux pas.
Yeah.
So the opposite, where you have a case where grand jurors have issued an indictment, then after the indictment, the time
for
the dismissal
matters.
The time for the dismissal should have occurred prior to the grand jury indicting.
Right.
But the grand jury indicted Smollett, and then Kim Fox comes in
That's a blow to the whole judicial process.
And that's why Rahm Emanuel is so
important. So right. why bring in the grand jury if you're going to veto it?
Well,
and the question I would have if I'm a defense attorney there, from now on, I would say, so what? What's an indictment?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What's an indictment?
Sure.
So my client is charged with murder? Who says?
Right.
Right. So 16 felony charges just dropped like that. I tell you what, I mean, it appears that trying to find explanations for this, it appears that somebody, there's some funny business going on here. That's out of sight, maybe.
Because he follows up the Jussie Smollett. After the dismissal occurs, he comes out saying, I've always kept my story. I've been innocent from the beginning. And that is just a gut punch and a slap in the face of the Chicago police.
I think that's what infuriated Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, and the chief of police more than anything else, was the fact that they know that plea bargains happen all the time. In fact, you were telling me you expected him not to get much jail time, if any. But they would certainly have to admit that he made this whole thing up.
That's exactly right.
And payback.
But he didn't even have to do that.
Never in my 10 years of prosecuting cases, I've tried at least 100 cases, murders, everything, I have never seen a district attorney, a prosecutor, to allow a case to be dismissed based on past community service.
Right.
Never in my life have I ever seen
that. And Abe, it's one thing if the state's attorney cut a deal with Smollett's attorneys, and they said, all right, you're going to pay back the police department for their resources, and you're going to admit that you did this, and this is going to go on your record.
Right.
It's not going to be expunged. Then I could say, all right, well, he's paying it, but they went soft on him, maybe because he
didn't have jail time.
Yeah, he didn't have jail time. They went soft on him. But this was this was nothing.
It was a whitewash.
Yes.
Like Rahm Emanuel said.
Right.
I don't know. It's like, you're speculating, but the only thing – he's a gay man. I think that probably had something to do with it. But I don't know. Or it could be like Rahm Emanuel said. It could be just because of his celebrity status. But I don't think if he were a conservative celebrity, he would have been let off.
No. Dinesh D'Souza wasn't let off.
No.
Dinesh D'Souza served in jail.
Yeah, he
went
to jail.
Campaign fraud.
What happened to Roseanne Barr's career.
Yeah.
It's over.
Right.
Anyway.
Paul Manafort's probably going to die in jail.
Yeah.
President Trump's former campaign manager.
If I'm Paul Manafort, I might claim I'm gay.
Yeah.
I might
self-identify as a minority.
Self-identify as, as an Asian.
Yeah.
Gay person.
Right.
You up your chances to get off.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you say?
Well, it appears that
way. Where we're going in America today?
Yeah. I don't see how any prosecutor can expect jurors in Chicago to take them seriously at this point.
No.
I
so you're saying the credibility of the DA's office, and I don't know when her election of state's attorney's office, is shot.
It's completely shot.
Yes.
It's completely shot.
Hmm.
Completely
and
shot.
And I was mentioning this earlier on the show, but there's probably homicides and stuff that go unsolved in Chicago.
They have less than a 15% clearance rate.
Yeah, so imagine all the families. So the police department puts $600,000 worth of resources into this Jussie Smollett case, which is a hoax, and then there's families out in Chicago who don't have the money, and they don't know the Obamas, and their son died, and they don't even know who did it.
Yep.
You know? So why don't we divert that $600,000 to figure out who murdered their son?
One of the main reasons we spent so much time on this morning, I think, of course this whole news broke yesterday, is because this kind of false accusations against conservative people in America go on a lot. Mm-hmm. And you cannot take claims of hate crimes or a bigotry at face value. You have to wait till the facts come out. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know that the media doesn't do that. And you know, there may be times, there are times when there are things that happen in our society that are based on bigotry towards people because of their race or because of their, you know, homosexuality or whatever the case may be.
Or because you voted for Trump.
Yeah, or, you know, attacking. So, and so you need to withhold judgment, but the liberal media does not withhold judgment, and the Hollywood celebrity crowd, they immediately take the position that it did happen just as the accuser says it did, no matter how far-fetched the story is.
Yep.
And we need to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
So, it reminds me of the story. It was in Austin or San Antonio about a year and a half ago. There was a homosexual man, and he went into a grocery store, and he had bought a cake for a wedding or something. I don't know. Or some reason that he was celebrating.
Yeah.
And the cake was made just as he had asked to be made. He took it out to his car, and he wrote over it or did something to make it a homosexual slur.
He got his own icing and wrote his own homosexual slur on his own cake.
He went to great lengths out in his car, right, in the parking lot?
It was at a Whole Foods. He went back in and said, look what they did to my cake.
Yeah, then he goes back to the counter with his cake, and he's in tears. Yeah. Just totally distraught because whoever made the cake back there in the kitchen put this homophobic slur on here.
Yep.
And I'm torn up about it, and I want some justice, and I don't know if he was going to sue him or whatever. Well, pretty quickly.
It was discovered.
It was discovered because somebody had made him look, as businesses do, they make you look at a cake before you take it home.
Before you take it out,
And there was security footage of the cake leaving the shop in proper shape with no slurs.
These people are going to have to get smarter if they're going to be at least a chance of believability. I mean, this is classic dumb criminal stuff.
Yeah, and it's really a double-edged sword. There's unintended consequences because if you claim to be a victim of, quote, hate crimes or racism, then the whole police force, all the resources go to figure out who the racist is in the town, who the bigot is, who's discriminating. Well, that brings all the attention and spotlight, and then it leads to being figured out that it's all fake.
You know what? I bet these cops in Chicago, these investigators, detectives, they knew within an hour that the whole thing was made up, didn't they?
They couldn't say so publicly.
But they knew.
And this has caused a great fracturing within the district attorney, state's attorney's office in Cook County and the police department to where they are enraged. There are many prosecutors who are really close to walking out on Kim Fox because they know what all the evidence.
This hurts them now.
It destroys them. Just like I said, how would you like to be a prosecutor that you have a trial starting today on a theft case or something, and you have to convince a jury. And it's also worth noting that George Soros, his last funding efforts and campaigns have been in district attorney races.
Really?
Kim Fox is one of the district attorneys that George Soros poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into their campaign coffers to get them elected.
Wow.
Really?
Yes.
Why would he care about that office?
Well, because, in my opinion, one of the primary sources or talking points in the, you know, the liberal agenda, all these types of things is trying to release prisoners, really, from jails and prisons. And so what better way to do it than to have district attorneys who share your worldview elected? Yeah. Because district attorneys really hold pretty much the most power in the criminal justice system when you think about it. The majority of people who are incarcerated in state prisons and in local jails, not in the federal system. And so
George
district attorneys
Soros is also funding local elections.
Funding local district attorney elections specifically.
The new thing for the Democrats is to take over the law enforcement or prosecutorial offices. That's why you see Keith Ellison running for AG in Minnesota. You have, I mean, even our own AG here in Mississippi refuses to enforce our state laws. That's the way they take over is they prosecute conservatives, they prosecute Republicans when they break a law or do a process crime, and then they let their own folks, their own Democrats, off the hook.
Well, just to clarify, Jim Hood, who is the Attorney General of the state of Mississippi in elected office,
right?
His office refused to defend
multiple laws.
Certainly the religious freedom law.
Yeah. Most recently.
House Bill 1523.
Yeah, he said it wasn't important enough.
He didn't agree with it, so he wasn't going to.
He personally didn't agree with it, so he wasn't going to defend it in court. So
right.
The state of Mississippi, the governor's office and others had higher
outside counsel
when it should have been, when the attorney general of the state should have defended the law that duly passed by the people.
Right, and then you had
the people's representatives.
Flashback 11 years ago, 2008, the California state attorney general says, we're not going to defend Proposition 8.
Yes.
The citizens voted for marriage.
A referendum. 8 million people
and
voted.
And the prosecutor, the chief law enforcement officer, says, oh, we're not going to defend that because I don't personally agree with it.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's what the Democrats want to do here is take over these law enforcement
agencies. That's scary.
And it's an effective way to nullify the will of the people and to nullify the law enforcement regime in your various states and localities.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it, brother.
Thank you. Look forward to your show
this afternoon. What's your main topic going to be? Do you know yet?
I don't know which I'm going to deal with too much specifically yet, but I'll say this. Jussie Smollett can't be the gay Tupac if he don't go to jail.
Yeah. Duly noted. If you don't know what that means,
stay tuned this afternoon.
Abe will break it down for you. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, every couple of weeks, we talk about how you can help support our ministry here at American Family Radio by purchasing the Redeem Clean products, the laundry detergent, and other products that our good friend Lynn Ingram and Jim Duncan, Texans, they personally spent money to make this product because they believe in what we do, and they want portions of the purchase to go. Well, they do make it possible, and we work with them to support our ministry. And you get a great laundry
product.
Detergent. Yeah. So Lynn is on with us from Abilene, Texas. Good morning, Lynn.
Good morning, Tim. How are you men doing today?
Is it springtime in Abilene yet?
It's getting there. It's getting there. It's so beautiful. It's just beautiful. Great time of the year for West Texas.
Hey, describe to me. I've never been to Amarillo. I've been to Lubbock. You're in between, aren't you?
I am. We are. We're 180 miles due west of Dallas and about 160 miles kind of southeast of Lubbock and about 120-something miles from Midland, Odessa. We're east of them. So we're pretty strategically located, really.
Okay. When I went to Clovis, Texas one time, this is 20 years ago, I flew into Lubbock. They picked me up because they didn't have an airport in Clovis at the time, I guess. I don't know if they still do. And drove 2 hours, I want to say. And I never will forget going through a little town called Muleshoe.
Yes, sir.
You been there?
I have, yes, sir.
They got the big bronze mule, don't they?
You're right.
Isn't it bronze?
Great memory, Tim.
You don't forget a giant bronze mule.
Yeah.
When you see it. But I just never will forget going there and going through there. But anyway, tell us, okay, I got a question for you. By the way, folks, before I ask Lynn the question, please check out afastore.net. Just go there. It doesn't cost you a dime. Your data, whatever you use on your computer, maybe. But AFA.
Tim, can I say one thing?
Please.
Yesterday was the largest sale day we've had for Redeem Clean yet. Unbelievable.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It was huge. Just seems like it's we're building traction.
Picking up?
It's building traction. Yes, sir.
It takes time. AFA, folks, go to afastore.net. afastore.net. Again, Lynn and his partner, his friend, Jim Duncan, they invested their own money to create this. They came to Tupelo, sat down with us a year and a half ago or so and said, this is what we want to do. Is it doable? We're not going to ask AFR for anything. We'll spend our own money. But when we get this made, and it's good and we test it, do you guys want to promote it? And so every time you buy a Redeemed Clean product, a certain percentage of that helps us out. So go to afastore.net and get a try it. Just try it. That's all we're asking you to do is to try it. Okay, the question for the day.
Yes, sir.
This is submitted by Lynn from Abilene. and he writes, I guess it's he. He writes, when I order one of the Redeemed Clean products today, how long before it's delivered and how much is the shipping cost?
Redeemed Clean is all that we always pay all shipping costs, no matter how much or how little you order. The boxes are shipped by FedEx Smart Mail, which means basically FedEx picks it up at our warehouse in Dallas. It ships it to your local post office in your zip code, and it's then delivered by your regular postal delivery person. And it's usually 3 to 6 days of delivery. But there is never a charge for shipping cost. And that was one of the ways when we designed this that we could make it a value statement, a value proposition that there be no charge for shipping.
Amen. Amen. Hey, let me ask you this. This time of year, you start, I would imagine, with all the sports starting outside, the baseball, your softball and all that, your business starts picking up.
Tim, we've been so fortunate. We are so diversified that it comes in the front door, the back door, and down the chimney. You know, when the apples aren't selling, the bananas are. There's always something selling in the cleaning business.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
And we're just really fortunate to be in a position like that, to be in a position that we can identify ministries like AFA and AFR to go and do things for them. And help support in any and every good Christian cause that we're able to. And we're just grateful for that, just to give it away.
Now, you got your Redeemed Clean laundry detergent, but you got other things there, right?
We do. We've got dryer sheets. We've got softeners. We've got spotters. We've got some great softeners. You know, and if the moms are out there listening right now, the kids are getting into soccer and baseball, those stains, those grass stains, that red clay stains on the baseball field. Try our spotters. They're just really awesome. Mm-hmm. They're just, read the directions, let them set up, let it work, and then wash them. And I think you'll be real surprised at how they do come clean. Every stain does not come out, I'll tell you right now, but the majority of, if they can be gotten out, our products can get them out if you'll use them correctly.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Lynn. Appreciate it.
Hey, man, thank y'all. Have a great week.
All right, you
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye. That's our good buddy, Lynn Ingram. From Abilene, TX. All right, we got a couple of minutes. What do you got, Fred?
Well, let's end on some silliness.
Okay.
And
like the Jesse Solette story, Wadden. Go ahead.
New York Times.
Uh-huh.
Part of the Never Trump movement. So yesterday, the Washington Capitals NHL team that won the Stanley Cup last year. Like other teams, you know, they're invited to the White House. They all come in there. The captain of that team is a guy by the name of Alex Ovechkin. Terrific hockey player.
Right.
About to score another 50 goals for the year.
Wow.
So he's standing behind the president. New York Times writes the story, hey, Ovechkin, he's a good friend of Vladimir Putin. And there he is standing in the White House office right behind Donald Trump.
So call Robert Mueller back, tell him he needs to reopen.
Yeah. We found the collusion.
Did they really, was this really a big deal in the New York Times? Is that how they were?
It's a story.
It's a story.
Oh, my goodness.
They used time and ink.
Oh, my goodness.
He's the team's Russian captain and the National Hockey League's most valuable player, who is also a vocal admirer and personal friend of President Vladimir Putin of Russia.
Good.
There's the collusion for you.
There it is, right there. That's good. Come on. Come on, man. That's unbelievable. All right. No, it's not unbelievable. No. Go with the New York Times. All right, Fred, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right, we're going to take a five-minute break, then we'll be back, and Steve Jordahl will be joining us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.